This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, before we start our program, I'm going to mention something about some upcoming programs. I had a call this past week from someone who I have not known terribly long, but whom I still consider a great friend. His name's Steve Densley. He's with FairLDS.org. For those of you who don't know, is a great organization that helps get out the word about LDS concepts and defending the faith, various other things that are very, very useful. At any rate, he called and had some great ideas for programs, things that I have not, subjects that I have not really touched on for a while, and I thought it would be great to do so in the future. So look forward to those. We're going to talk about things like baptism for the dead, blacks and the priesthood. A few other things may creep in along the way. Things like the difference between salvation by grace or works, restoration versus reformation, maybe the Trinitarian concept, a few other things during the next few weeks. So it'll be a fun series of programs that are coming up. Today, I thought it would be really fun to take a look at some of the evidences of the genuineness, the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon, because the Book of Mormon is a book that is quite amazing and quite unique. It, of course, was produced by Joseph Smith, who claimed that he received it by direction from an angel sent from God. That is quite a claim. No matter what the claim for producing what is a new set of scriptures, it's got to be a miraculous achievement. How many other examples can you think of someone producing new scripture claimed to be genuine and not made up by that specific person? That is quite a remarkable claim in and of itself. And Joseph Smith doing so and producing a document that's approximately 550 pages long at the rate of about 10 pages a day with no real corrections other than minor stylistic and grammatical corrections is quite amazing and gives people who want to seriously look at that book rather than just passing judgment on it superficially half a great deal of evidence that they can look at below the surface. If you take a look, for example, at the time period during which the book claims to have its storyline from the people that that recorded it, it claims to be the Jaredites, who we don't know exactly what the time period would be, but approximately 2500 BC, perhaps as early as 3000, perhaps as late as 2000 BC, but about 2500 BC to maybe 400 BC. Where would someone test whether or not there was a group in the New World that lived during that time frame? How could you do that? Now, before we answer that question, we should also make one other observation, and that is that Joseph Smith would have had no access to any information about when any ancient civilizations in the New World here started or ended. Just wasn't available. The nearest library to him was the Manchester Library. It had about 134 volumes. None of them were on ancient civilizations. history in America. Zero, none, not one. And we also really have no reason to believe Joseph Smith spent any time in that library anyway, even if there were such a book. Now to the answer of that question. Is it just a coincidence that the Book of Mormon talks about Jaredites from about 2500 or so BC to 400 AD? Is it just a coincidence that the Olmec civilization started about 3000 BC and ended at about 5 to 400 BC? Is that just a coincidence? This is just a lucky guess. Now, the next great group mentioned in the Book of Mormon. That, of course, would be the Nephite and Lamanite group that bifurcated themselves from one major group that came over, according to the Book of Mormon story. That group, according to the record itself, began about 600 BC and ended at about 421 AD, give or take. Is it a coincidence that the Mayan civilization began about 500 or so BC and ended at about 3 to 350 AD? And those figures about both the Olmecs and Mayans are certainly not LDS sources. They are sources of some of the major figures, the respected individuals in that area. Michael Coe, for example, Richard Deal. Those are amazing coincidences, are they not? Or is there something more going on here? Ask yourself that question. There are some other amazing things that you find in the Book of Mormon that absolutely positively could not have been known by Joseph Smith. Things that are not often brought up. One of those is that there has, of course, been a discussion in the Book of Mormon that talks about one of the sons of Zedekiah. And it's fascinating that perhaps the seal of that son has been found. Has the seal of Mulek been found is a fascinating discussion that's found in several great publications of those who are defenders of the Book of Mormon. The Journal of Book of Mormon Studies in Volume 12, Issue 2, published in 2003, has a great article with actually exquisite pictures of the seal itself, which seems to show that a person mentioned in the Book of Mormon, Zedekiah, his son, Mulek, also mentioned the Book of Mormon, apparently his seal has been found. Now, those who discuss that seem to be equivocating a bit. Perhaps there is some other answer. We'll equivocate a bit too. But again, seems to be quite a remarkable coincidence, does it not? When we come back, I'm going to mention a few other quite obscure things from the Book of Mormon that would be absolutely unlikely, highly unlikely for somebody to just come up with out of the blue. And yet we find them in the Book of Mormon, and we know that historically the description is accurate. Coincidence or something more? Of course, if you believe the Book of Mormon, it is certainly something more. If you don't, you have to start scratching your head and wondering, when there are so many, many things that are right, that are accurate, that are true, according to non-LDS scholars in the field. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today, your chance to listen to religious discussions about LDS issues and other timely religious issues each week right here on KSL. Today we're talking about some amazing coincidences, or perhaps verification of the truthfulness, if you're a believer, of the Book of Mormon. We started out with the fact that according to the pages of the Book of Mormon itself, the Jaredites were around from about 2500 BC to about 400 BC, and so were the Olmecs. But Joseph Smith would not have known that. We also talked about how the Mayan civilization was around from about 500 BC to about 3 or 350 AD, according to scholars. And according to the Book of Mormon, the Nephites and the Lamanites, that group was around from about 600 BC to about 400 AD. Complete coincidence? Well, I think not. We also mentioned how apparently the seal of Mulek, an individual known in the Book of Mormon, has been found, the actual seal of that person. And then we were going to talk about some other things that are quite amazing as you read them in the Book of Mormon, and yet they turn out to be true historically. One of the more interesting ones is that in Alma chapter 17, verses 37 through 39, you've got this quite amazing discussion of this guy named Ammon. And what happens is that as he is attacked, he cuts off the arms of his attackers. And then as you read on with the story, these severed arms are gathered up and taken to the king as battle trophies to show what's really happened, apparently as evidence for the heroic efforts of one Ammon, of this soldier person. Does that ring true to anyone? Do you ever remember any discussions about in the War of 1812, the Revolutionary War, World War I, or two, any war, any time? Do you remember any discussions of severed arms being gathered up to prove what had happened as some kind of battle trophies? I think the answer would be no. If you haven't read that story very much, it would sound quite odd or unusual. It's a very strange story if you haven't heard of such a thing before. And yet, apparently, severed arms were used by the ancient Mayans as battle trophies. I was quite amazed to be able to stumble on some evidence of this from paintings, early works of art, and from discussions by Michael Coe, the person who I mentioned earlier as the true expert on Mayan civilization. He talks about this quite unusual use of severed limbs as battle trophies. So apparently, at this time, and with this group, it was something that happened. That, to me, is remarkable. Is that something Joseph Smith just coincidentally happened to think up? He certainly would not have known that from any source. Another issue. As you read through the Book of Mormon, you find that the people who are described in there, the Native American Indians, in Alma chapter 43, verse 19, again in Alma 49, verse 24, and again in Ether chapter 15, verse 15. They had what are described as head plates or head shields. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't remember reading any books about Native American customs in which they had head plates or head shields. They had war bonnets. They had, in some cases, feathered headdresses, but head plates, head shields? I don't recall that. And yet, that is something that indeed is the case. There's this wonderful book called War and Society in Ancient Mesoamerica by Ross Hassig, who's a PhD there, and in 1992 put together this wonderful book that talks about some of the head plates and head shields that were used by ancient Mesoamerican warriors. Again, something in the Book of Mormon turns out, according to secular scholars, to be absolutely accurate. Something that's counterintuitive, like these other examples mentioned. Another one that's adjacent or similar, would be a better way to say it, is a description in Alma 43, in the same verse 19, but also in verse 21, of body armor in ancient America. Now, if someone thinks about body armor, they would think about ancient, they wouldn't think about something ancient, they'd think about new advances in technology. They might also think of knights in shining armor in Europe, but body armor is not something that would normally be thought of as being part of the paraphernalia that Native American warriors would wear. And yet, again, in that same book I just mentioned by Dr. Ross Hassig, in his book about war and society in ancient Mesoamerica, it talks about it. It talks about ancient body armor by the soldiers, by the warriors, the Mayan warriors. It's quite remarkable to see that. Another one that is frequently laughed to scorn is the mention in chapter 9, verse 16, and in Alma 2, verse 12, and Alma 43, 20, of scimitars in the New World. If you're wondering what a scimitar is, it's one of those curved-bladed swords that one often associates with the Middle East. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't recall much in the way of swords being used by Native Americans at all in my educational process, which I don't think was too defective. It's just not something that you read about. Bow and arrow, absolutely. Clubs, tomahawks, related things, slings, sure. But scimitars? That would not be something that most people would associate with Native American warfare. A curved sword, a Middle Eastern style curved sword. And yet, again, in the book by Dr. Hassig, and frankly in many, many, many other volumes by other scholars, we find references to curved swords being used in Mesoamerica by Mayan warriors. Coincidence again that somehow Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon got something right? I think not. These are all things that Joseph Smith could not have known but he got right. I think that says something about the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. Join me next week. I'm Martin Tanner.